Good. Psalm chapter number 80. Let's stand together and we'll read just a few verses. Might be a blessing to you. You say, I've already read my Bible today. Well, praise the Lord. That'll be good for you if God's given out crowns for that. You know what I found out that most people do in the Christian life? Most of what most people do in the Christian life is for vain glory. If you turn that flashlight off, how many of y'all know what flashlight can be used as? It's used as a spotlight. You turn that flashlight off, they quit doing what they're doing. Most people don't do what they do out in public for the Lord when they're in the privacy of their own home. I'm just saying sometimes, you know, we do what we do only for a reward. And if that's the reason we do it, we should not do it. Amen. I don't put offerings in the offering plate expecting God to bless me for it. I don't put $10 in there like the TV. You've heard the TV preacher say, if you'll give 10, God will give you 100 or whatever the ratio is. How wicked is that? We call that in the, social world, interest, whatever you want to call that, the banking world, interest, dues, I don't know what you, it don't matter, but God don't operate like that. Amen. I believe that's what's called faith, ain't it? He says give, he speaks, says give, we obey, because we listened. We submitted, we love Him, amen. Psalm chapter number 80, the Bible says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock. Thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. Before Ephraim and Benjamin and Manasseh, that covers all points in between right there. That got all Joseph's children, didn't it? He said, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Boy, you know what? That'd be a prayer we could pray right there. If we was praying for our country, if we was praying for America or for St. Mary's or for Georgia or the world. Whew, what a mess this world's in. He said, turn us again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I'd like to say Asaph has pretty good faith in God, wouldn't you? I mean, what he's saying thus far, he has got utmost confidence in God's ability. Can I share this with you? If you're a Christian, if you're saved, Brother Darnell was bragging on the blood of Jesus Christ because it's nowhere close. The blood of bulls and goats don't come nowhere close to being equal with the blood of Christ. And if God would be so kind to us, when we come to Him and confess to Him that we're a sinner, and in our state had no hope, and in our condition had no help, no future, nothing. You couldn't have ate today had it not been for God's mercy. You couldn't have grown. You say, I got my own vehicle. You sound like a self-made man. God's grace. The Lord told Paul, He said, my grace is sufficient for just whatever I need. Just what? Every one of us at one time or another, if you've got any age to you at all, if you hadn't, it will come. Every one of us at one time or another has had vehicles break down and couldn't afford to get it fixed. Every one of us at one time or another, washing machine broke. You had babies in the house and we use cloth diapers. We did. Say, why? Because it just was too expensive to use them disposable ones. I found out this. You take the youngin' outside and you wash them down with a water hose. It makes them reach the age of accountability real quick. That pump cuts on Sunday like, wow! That ain't in the Holy Ghost either. Amen. Like Leroy. Brother Leroy said they're full of the Holy Ghost. Not from the well, of that well anyway. Great confidence he had in God. He said, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Whoa. Just hit a stump. Are you trying to tell me that people, God's people, are you listening to me? This is God's people, has made God mad. You say, is this the church? No. The church ain't even mentioned here. Church ain't even mentioned yet. We're mentioned Joseph, Ephraim, Manasseh, and Benjamin. They have made God mad. See, I didn't know God got mad. Well, you really didn't know God got mad because you don't read your Bible. Let's read on. He said, O Lord God of hosts, how long wilt thou be angry against the prayer of thy people? Thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. You know what? We better do this here. Father, please help us tonight for just a little while, God. I want to try to bless them here. If you would bless this people, Lord, I love this church. I pray you bless them. And God, use them for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you. He said, thou feedest them with the bread of tears and givest them tears to drink in great measure. Can I say this tonight? It was not an unusual thing for as a diet of the children of Israel, if you will, to have to live and eat and drink on their tears. Said, man, that ain't no food. No. But it was what they worked for. It was what they worked for. It was the fruit of their life. You know what I've seen? This is crazy. You know what I've seen in my life in the short time that I've been a Christian, the short time that I've been a preacher? You know what I've seen? A lot of people live on their tears. You know why? That's all they work for. They're not working for the Lord to try to be a blessing. They're not trying to be a witness. They're not trying to be a help. They're working for tears. They're sowing trouble. They're sowing sorrow. They're sowing heartache. So when tears come, hey, eat them, friend. I'm just wanting to say tonight that tears ain't a good diet. Tears ain't something I'd sit down at Denny's and ask to order. I'm not going to walk into Cracker Barrel and say, when they say, what would you like to have to eat tonight, sir? I'm not going to say, give me a big bowl of tears. Because before them tears can get there, there's going to be a whole lot of trouble. Before them tears can get there, there's going to be a whole lot of heartache. I don't want those tears. Brother Reuben, I do not want that to be the bread that I feed on. I'm thankful that God has given me something. Listen, be reminded as we look at this text, they didn't have this book. They didn't have this instruction. They didn't have this direction. They didn't have this warning. I think too many times, listen to me, too many times we get to assuming too many things about God and the people that God's dealing with when the people that God's dealing with did not have the book that we have. How would they have known? Mike Alford, how would they have known of the warnings that God gave me and you? They didn't have it. You said they had a pastor. Where? Moses. How many did Moses pastor in his church? I had a woman call me this morning. She called me this morning, and she is burdened and worried and about a church. So some of y'all wouldn't have been, you'd have thought, Brother Edwards, you didn't handle that right. Well, first off, I was as tired as if I'd have pulled a plow 16 miles yesterday. When I went to bed last night, I'm telling you, I went to sleep. I don't know if I pulled the covers up or not. Okay? Have you come by? You saw what I looked like yesterday. Them boys worked me to death yesterday. I'm telling you, I hope they were so tired they couldn't even eat supper. Uh-oh. They ate. Next time it's going to be worse, Brother Sean. They just told them to say, no, I'm the key. They did a good job. I'm just saying, I was as tired. Listen, you know what I didn't want? You know what I didn't want at 7 o'clock? Phone call. You know what I didn't want at 8 o'clock? Phone call. You know what I didn't want at 9 o'clock? A phone call. I just didn't want a phone call. Honestly, I'd be up for them. By that time, I'd be up. I'd done have coffee made. I'd be sitting at the table. I'd be listening to a message or reading and writing notes and making, studying whatever I'm doing, sitting there. Just don't want to talk. Anybody else like that? When you wake up first thing in the morning, you don't want to talk? Anybody? Is everybody hearing what I got to say in there? Okay, I'm getting no response from some folk. I'm just thinking, they don't want to do nothing. They don't want to breathe. Anybody want to quit breathing? Get out of here. I don't believe that. Don't ask me who that was. I'm going to tell you. Don't ask. And somebody called me way too early, in the morning. Said, did I wake you up? I said, you're fine. Go ahead. Do like I do Gary Luther, just put it on speakerphone, left side the pillow, and go back to sleep. I have done Gary like that before. I have done him like that. And you wake up by this sound, obnoxious sound. Eddie, you there? Oh, that boy. I'm talking about feeding on tears that we've planted. Are you listening? Feeding on tears. Drinking tears that are flowing. And that person telling me about how that last church told her she had to leave. She said, I know. I know what I'm doing is not right. God does not like it. I'm not living in the way I should. I'm living in sin. I said, not like it. He hates it. What did you want me to say? Oh, God bless you. He loves you anyway. No, he hates it. She said, but I want to come to your church. I said, come on. 7 o'clock tonight. Before I could say thank you, we went to another story. So, anyway. All the troubles in her life, Jeremy, I had to listen to them. For what seemed like an hour. And I'm thinking, you, ma'am, are eating and feeding on your tears. Yeah. And you're drinking your tears. And a lot of folks said, that ain't no way that could be like that. Well, that's what the Bible says. Let's look on, because that's not where we're going. I got to hurry. I got about 15 minutes left. If I hurry. He said, verse 6, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors. Look at this text. Now, if God is telling his children these things about his people, he said, thou makest us a strife unto our neighbors. Let me just say this. I realize he ain't talking to me. But But it's very possible that you and I can be a strife to our neighbors. And our enemies laugh among themselves. Oh boy. Now when I read this text right here, this bothered me. Because here's why it bothers me. You've heard me use this phrase, Brother Earl Hughes, use it whenever one of the most saints quit or when trouble comes to a church. The old devil just stands back in the corner over here. He's over here in the corner. Look here. He's over here in the corner. He didn't have to do nothing. All he had to do was get one snowball, pack it together, and roll it down the mountain, and then everything took care of itself from there. So how can you stop something like that? Well, one thing, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. You know what a good, a horrific machine, if you will, that gives a snowball effect is? Facebook. Now, it can be used for good. It can be used for good. It can be used for good. Sister Anita still has family back home, and she can use it and talk to her family. I'd say that's a good thing. Wouldn't you? Jeremy's got family in Portugal. He's got cousins over there, family, aunts over there. If he wanted to correspond with them, that'd be a good thing. But if it ever gets this here, down the mountain she goes, you better look out when it gets to the bottom, brother. And the devil's just standing there going, he ain't got to say nothing else. I took care of everything. I added snow to it. And then when the story's told, by the time it gets to the bottom, somebody's got to call Channel 4 News and say, hey, you didn't see that big snowball that just wiped out Camden Baptist Church, did you? And the enemies are going, ha! All I've heard for the last 10 years is that church has been in revival. That's all I've heard. All I've heard is they got souls being saved in it. And boy, how the choir sings. I had a woman call me today from Pennsylvania looking for a CD she's ordered 3 weeks ago. And she said, every day when I get home, my husband's sitting there listening to the CD and to church singing on YouTube. Well, actually, it was all on YouTube, but she's wanting the CD. And she just wouldn't know where CD was. And I'm thinking, you know what? If there's ever been anybody disappointed in a church that has a testimony about being where God is, about old-time preaching or old-time singing or old-time shouting or whatever it is, it would be anybody that had any kind of a confidence in a church that a big snowball just rolled through the bottom of it. Not just this church, any church. You know what I've heard about people doing? I don't know. I've never met nobody that's done this. I'm sure there's been a lot of people do it. We've used the old phrase. We've heard the phrase. Somebody help me right here. We've heard the phrase taking a bullet for somebody. You ever heard that? Husbands, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Taking a bullet. Huh? Them days are gone. Don't believe that no more, okay? Because now we're living in an hour. We're even living in an hour now. That men don't even not talk to the wives without screaming at them. Without making them cry. God forbid. Hey, sir, please, sir, you listen to me. Don't tell me God's going to use you for nothing. When you're going to treat his bride like that.
That's right.
Well, if it didn't get quiet right there, it ain't a cow in Texas. What happened? That was that big stump we just hit, wasn't it? That's one of the guilty stumps right there, wasn't it? I appreciate all you gentlemen in the front row helping me. He said, turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. That's the prayer. God, get me back where I used to be. God, help me, Lord, to be the kind of Christian that I started out being. Give me the knowledge. Give me the wisdom. Give me the humbleness, Lord. Whatever it takes to confess that I don't know nothing and you know everything. And whatever it is you want me to know, I'll be glad to take it. God, please help me. God, save me. God, get me on track. What did he say right there? Turn us again! Brother Reuben! There's going to be many days up in that church. You don't know how many times that people have said some things that has helped me. It's helped me! I didn't even realize that I was going in a different direction and needed maybe just somebody to say one little word that would make me wake up and think, hey, I'm about to jump track. Because you're looking at so much stuff. I ain't talking about getting off in crazy junk. I ain't talking about teaching a false doctrine. I'm talking about just maybe losing the focus or losing the burden. And the focus becoming something that wasn't even really important. That's the danger of my mirror. I'm going to be honest with you. I don't know how y'all do. But if I'm combing my hair, and my wife standing behind me while I'm combing my hair, I ask her to move. That mirror ain't big enough for one person. You know what I mean? Now, you ladies, y'all are multitask people. And y'all can get in front of the mirror, and them babies climbing on your shoulders and up your back and across the bathtub and everything else in there. And I walk in there, face putting stuff on her eyes, and Cannon's climbing in the tub, and Ava's pulling drawers out and dumping stuff in the sink. I'm thinking, oh, not me, buddy. I couldn't handle this kind of stuff right here. I myself, I couldn't handle it. Jonah's in there putting makeup on, and I... Just kidding, dude. I'm just saying, if we're not careful, and it won't hurt us just to do it just for pride's sake, to every once in a while find us a place somewhere where there ain't nobody at, you ain't got to tell nobody, just where there ain't nobody at, and get lost with God somewhere and say, God, turn me. I believe this. Now, you can help me if you want to right here. I believe this. I believe you ask God to turn you. He ain't going to turn you in the wrong direction. I believe he turns it all, it'll be the right way. Wouldn't you think? It'll be the right way. He said, verse 8, and thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt and hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Man, what good thing has come out of Egypt? I got to think about that. Have you ever thought about that? Egypt's the top of the world. So you tell me, what good thing could come out of Egypt? I thought about it, Brother Darnell. I thought of something. Something good. You're going to say, well, when Jesus was a little boy, that Joseph took him down there to Egypt. No, what for then? Genesis chapter number 12, the Bible says, a few verses before that, the Bible talks about how God gave Abraham a piece of property. He literally gave him a piece of property that was his. Given to him by God. Nobody else would own that. It was Abraham's. You know what Abraham did? He stood out there at the fence post and looked at his property until he looked over and seen there wasn't no beans growing. There wasn't no corn growing. And all he done was looked. He didn't plant. He didn't work. He didn't labor. He just looked. He stood there and looked. And then he looked low enough till he realized after his belly got to growling, there's a famine in the land. Buddy, I'm telling you, you say what you want to. But when there comes a famine in the land, you'll act on what your stomach says, not on what your heart says. I'm saying tonight, I look at this text right here, and I'm telling you, friend, if I don't see the United States of America in this chapter right here, Brother Darnell, they probably ain't never been such a one. They ain't never been such a representation of our country has turned on God. And I'm saying, he said, thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt, thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it, thou preparedst room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land, the hills were covered with the shadow of it, and the boughs thereof were like the goodly cedars. They sent out her boughs unto the sea and her branches unto the river. He said, why hast thou then broken down her hedges, so that all they which pass by the way do pluck her? He said, listen, if God's been so good on this, we'll call it a royal vine, if God's been so gracious on all this royal vine, why in the world has the hedges been plucked down? Can I tell you this? I don't know if you know anything about thorns and thistles. I don't know if you know anything about briars and blackberry bushes and stuff like that. But I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people says, well, they just grow wild and you don't have to do nothing with them. Oh, no, neighbor. Just the contrary. They have to be taken care of also. They have to be fertilized also. They have to have water also. They have to have pruning also. And you know what happened? It used to be a time years ago in the Old Testament when somebody had a garden or somebody had a piece of property that they would literally plant just a thicket, a hedgerow, if you will, around that thing of thorns and thistles to keep people from coming in and stealing the goods and keep the animals out from stealing and eating all the goods and everything. But here we see right here where somebody has neglected that job. Somebody has just looked beyond that job. That's why it is. The church has just laid back and went to sleep. The church has just closed their eyes and said, hey, you take care of it, brother. Or you take care of it, sister. And let somebody else take care of this job. I ain't got time to do it. I'm tired. I'm weary. I just want me some rest. I'm just wanting to sit down and let somebody else do it. And in the meantime, when the devil comes by with his seducing spirits and trying to do what he can to distract people out of the house of God and get them on that wrong road they ain't supposed to be on to, all that's happening, Brother Sean, is that that hedgerow's being torn down and that thicket's being torn down. And here we see it right here, Brother Jeff, in this whole text, that the whole thing's torn down and anybody can come in, and the next thing happens is a wild boar comes by. Isn't that strange to call it a wild boar? You know what? If there had been a goat or a sheep, you'd thought, wow, somebody's goat's got out of the pasture. Somebody's sheep got out and come by. And what it says, the next thing happens, the wild boar come by. But you know what them goats would do? The goats, they'd eat the thorns and all. So that's the hedge. And the sheep would eat the grass. And sheep will literally eat the grass all the way down to the dirt. To the dirt. Now, they won't eat dirt. But they will eat down to the dirt. So they won't be nothing left until, if you get them off of it, hey, buddy, if you get them off of it, I don't want him leaving here saying, that preacher wouldn't speak to me. I know he wouldn't do that. Until, that's for adults. Until, if you get them off of it, it'll come forth. But now, wild boar. I don't know what you know about wild hogs. Brother Sean, I told him I was going to use, he showed me a picture. The other day, a wild boar come up in his yard. And this wild boar that come up in his yard, I'm going to say probably about near 90% or better domesticated. So you wouldn't be able to tag him wild if you done that, you know. Literally, I mean, if he's come out of the woods, where we think wild boars come from. And literally, he said, preacher, he's videoing it. He said, preacher, this hog, he said, I got within, I think you said about 10 feet or so. Me to you from it right now, video with camera. He's got it on the camera. That hog didn't feel threatened. I have a hard time believing that he was a real, what we would call a wild hog that you'd turn a catch dog loose on. But he had the appearance and the same traits as one that you have to have a dog catch. He looked just like one. And he was doing the same thing. Here's what a wild hog would do. A wild hog would just eat anything they can find. Hog's nasty. Now, thank God for pork chops. I'm going to be the first one to say that. One fellow told me one time, said, there ain't nothing on the hog you can't eat. I said, there might not be nothing on the hog you can't eat. I've smelled chitlins cooking, and I ain't interested. Don't want them in my house. I've eaten hog liver stew. That wasn't bad. I was hungry. But I love the pork chops. I love bacon. I like ham. I like pickled pig's feet. Ooh. Where's Sister Corey? That was your shouting ground right there. Okay. Thank you. You know, I can't hear. Thank you. Since I can't hear, when she shouts, you just holler out, "She shouted!" But a hog's nasty. A hog will eat live animals if they get them down. You fall down in a hog pen, that hog will eat you. A hog will eat people. I seen one time, we had some little chickens, some biddies, and the hogs in the pen, and the biddies, they thought it was so cool that they could run up there, and they could, while the hog's eating from the inside, because the trough was right there by the fence, and they'd reach up from the outside in and eat, and I watched the hog one time go, "Oh!" Head. That was it. You know what chicken done? Then what do you do then? Throw the rest of the chicken into that head. Might as well get the rest of it, hadn't you? Slop. The nastiest of. Soured. We used to pour corn in a drum, put water in it, let it swell, and sour. All it needed was sugar, a little yeast. I hear some chuckling coming in that corner of yonder. Brother Albert, you look like you in tune too now. Come on. I think y'all know what. Them hogs loved it. Guess what else they do? When there ain't nothing to eat, then they start rooting in up under the ground. And they start eating the root system. Listen real close. I'm just about finished right here. Here's what they'll eat. All the stuff that's been planted. All the stuff that's been planted. Let me go a little further. In your Christian life, that wild boar, he'll eat it. You know what you'll be left with? Confusion. And nothing and no fruit. You'll be a field, brother, that'll be barren from then on. Unless somebody comes in to try to recoup that field, that knows how to plow it. Are you listening? That knows how to plant it. That knows how to tend it. But the fields are different than you and I are. I watched my grandpa for many years plant the same crop in his field over and over and over. And over and over, but Jeff, you know some fields ain't made for nothing but just corn. I mean, that's a cornfield. My grandpa had a tobacco allotment. He grew tobacco. 63 acres. All the government, back in the 60s, all the government would let him plant would be 3/4 acre. What about that? In the 60s. That's all they would let him plant. It's the same way with cotton. Isn't that right? You know, he planted his tobacco in the same places every year. He planted his corn in the same places every year. Probably 40 acres of corn. Same field. Said, what about on the set here? Did he let it rest? No, hogs didn't rest and he didn't either. It's working. But he had to work it. He had to plow it. He had to roll it up. He had to drop seed. Not one time. Listen to what I'm going to say. Listen to what I'm going to tell you, young people. Not one time do I ever remember that old man standing up, and I'm not saying that disrespectfully. He was an old man that wasn't scared to work. He wasn't scared to work. He's 60 years old and chipping boxes, dipping turpentine. 60 years old. I've seen him 60 years old grab a 100-pound sack of feed on this hand, 100-pound sack on this hand, pick him up and walk with him. He wasn't scared to work. That's why I like to see it. I know you make them boys work, but Jeff, I know, but you know what encouraged me seeing them work yesterday? There was a couple of times they tried to jump track. I called them. Just help them. And they found a wild grapevine. Wild vine. I looked over and both of them said, I got sweat running down my eyes. I'm going, wiping sweat. Both of them looked like two young puppies. I said, what are y'all doing? They're just young boys. I know grown men wouldn't have stayed out there 15 minutes. You found one in it, McGarry. He found one of them and got rid of him and went got them two. I said something. Let me tell you something. Here's the people of God crying out for help. You know what they're crying for? Save us, Lord. Save us. Save us. Get us back where we need to be. You know what America needs to be doing tonight, Brother Darnell? America needs to be crying out and saying, God, help me. God, save me. You know what St. Mary's, Georgia needs tonight? They need to be crying out. Look, listen, when they have a city council meeting, they don't need to be worried about discussing about some property line down there where they're digging dirt and going to throw out oyster shells and all that. They need to be crying out, God, we need some Christians in our town. We need some people that can pray. We need somebody that will call on God. And I'm telling you, what better place for them to find somebody like that than Camden Baptist Church. You know what I'd hope? I'd hope this. Probably never happened. But I'd hope this. If they got a spiritual need, I'd be blessing me, Jeremy. They call me and say, hey, what do you think we ought to do as far as what God would care? Well, let me change clothes. I'll be done in a minute. Wouldn't you? I mean, Brother Mike, wouldn't you seize an opportunity like that? You said it never gonna happen. Oh, you're right. You're right. Not with that kind of faith. Not with that kind of faith. You said they'll never call me. God will never use me. No, not with that kind of faith. Not with that kind of volunteering. Not with that kind of submitting. Brother Reuben, you left up north coming down here. As far as you knew down here, as far as you're gonna die. God turned this thing around. And you can't talk to him now. He won't hush. He's so excited about going up there. I'm going up there to see what he's so excited about. I don't know when, but I'm going. Amen. You know what it is? On the inside, God got the stirring and God turned him around and God said, you're going back to where you came from. And he's happy about it. He said, man, I don't know if I want to go back to where I come from. Well, there's some place you might come from you don't want to go back. Like them old hangouts. Like with them old friends. So far, we're blaming everybody else. Go hang out, old friends. You probably don't want to go back to that old attitude. Oh, that old personality.
Yeah.
Is that, that's just the way I am. That's just the way I am. Well, the way you am is hurting people. The way you am, people don't want to be around you. I mean, I'm not saying nobody here about that. I'm talking about people hanging on to the things of their old past and just saying, that's just the way God made me. They're trying to blame it on God. God didn't have nothing to do with that. Matter of fact, most of the time, our attitude, if we're not careful, can become hateful. Hateful. Vindictive. And it'll end up wicked. And here we are standing as a child of the King. And I think about how He's angry with the wicked every day. You know, I try to do this. This might not work for you. But this is... this is what I try to do. When I wake up in the mornings, I ask the Lord, Lord, if there's any way I can be a help to somebody today, if I can be a witness to somebody today, if I can be a blessing to somebody today, would you let me do that? It ain't about me. I'm dead. I know what you're thinking. You're saying, I thought you was made alive. He quickened you. I'm talking about my old man's dead. My old man's the one who wants me to hold the light on myself. That old man wants my neighbors to see me in all my faithfulness and my holiness. My old man is. And Christ says, what about me? What about me? What you gonna do for me? What you gonna do for me? Does anybody know that you know me? Did you know for the average Christian, if it wasn't for them just coming to church, they never told nobody. The average Christian, there might even be somebody here tonight. It's just turned July. The seventh month? You know, just turned July, the seventh month, over half, starting on the second half of the year. Is it possible that there could be somebody in here tonight that has not even invited two people to church this year? Two. Brother Ruben, two. I thought about the lady this morning that called me so early. You know where I met her at? Walmart. You ought to know that, hadn't you? My watch broke. They don't make stuff like they used to. I mean, you can't do everything that you used to do in a watch, you know what I mean? Brother Leroy got to preach the other night, and I got excited, and I got clapping, and I don't know what I was doing, but anyway, I was excited myself. It rubbed off on me. Looked like it rubbed off on you a little bit, too. It was good, wasn't it? It's good. That was a memorial service. We'll not forget that. That service will be in mind your heart for old men. If God tears that long, we'll be old men, God. We'll still remember that. And my watch band broke. It was just hanging on one side. I forgot. Brother Darnell, I'm sorry. He told me, well, you get back there, I can't hear you. My watch band broke. And I went back to Walmart. I said, ma'am, I'd like to buy a watch band. She said, okay, we got them right down here on the front. Just pick out whatever you want. I said, if I pick it out, can you put it on? She said, sure. I said, good. Picked out what I wanted. She said, here, she got out her little toothpick thing she's got. And she's trying to get that thing unhooked right there. And she said, I can't seem to get it to come apart. I said, ma'am, if you can't get it apart, Lord in heaven knows I can't. She does this all the time. I said, I'll never be able to change it. She said, wait right here. While we're waiting right there, there's a little lady standing beside me with a boy that you can look at his life and just tell he's just full of trouble. I mean, I'm not saying he was troubled, but I'm talking about has had trouble in his life. And we said something about the Lord. She said, you a preacher? I said, I am. And there it went.
outside of the church. She gave me about two or three prayer requests. She called me early this morning. They give me a new watch. I couldn't fix the old one. I like Walmart. Amatron or something like that. I don't know what it is. Just a watch. You know what that is? You know what that watch was that day? That watch was a tool to witness with. That woman's got more heartache than you could ever imagine. A lot of us in here couldn't take it, Brother Gary. What all's transpired in her life this past week. Please don't misunderstand me. I was not making fun. Just, I'm not a very good host at 8 o'clock. I'm just not. That's, you say, I'm a great one. God bless you. I'm proud for you so much. You're wonderful. I'm not. I want oatmeal. I want coffee. And I really like it when I'm just sitting at my dining table right by myself. It's me and the Lord. The problem was, externally, the hedge is broken down. Internally, the wild boar ate everything there. You know what he'll do to this church if you ain't careful? He'll be in here and he'll eat everything that you've ever had planted in your life. Because it's a wild boar. It's a wild boar, Brother Darnell. My uncle had a hog one time. He's in a pen about 12 foot square. He's fattened him up to kill him. He's so big. We got a rope around his front foot. Had to put feed down there. Put a rope down there for him to step in it. Put a rope around his front foot. Pull it tight. Then he didn't want to eat. We had to wait for him to calm down, but the rope was on him. But he loved eating so much, he finally went back to the trough. In the meantime, we put another rope down for the back leg. So we've got a rope on this leg and this leg. And when we stretched him across that pen, he went almost from one corner to another. Wasn't quite 12 foot. He weighed right at 700 pounds. You're going to say this is inhumane. But a hog's got a spot just a little bit right above the center of his eye. His brain's round, and it runs deep in his head. And with a short, with a 177 pellet gun, you can take him out. You seen that on the videos? We took him out. But in the meantime, while he's sitting there. Before all that, he's just sitting there eating like there ain't no tomorrow. He didn't care about nobody standing around the pen. He didn't care. You know what he'd have done, Brother Tracy, if we had to quit feeding him? He'd have tore out of that pen. That's why hogs tear out. And that's why hogs tear in. And they've come to eat and to root up. And he said, there's a wild boar. Internally, externally, the hedges broke down. Internally, the wild boars come. Lord have mercy. And the wild beast of the field doth devour it. He said, return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts, look down from heaven and behold, and visit this vine. He said, verse 19, turn us again, O Lord God of hosts, because thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. I don't know about you, but every time I listen to the news, it's just heartaches. More killing, more murder. More storms in Israel. Jack Chick's got a new track out. The man on one side of him, I don't know if you've seen it or not, the man on one side of him, right dead in the middle, is the Pope. The man on one side of him is the head of Palestine. The man on the other side of him is the head of the Jews. They're both kissing him on the cheek. You said, that's just a cartoon. Well, you better be ready for them cartoons to take place. You better be ready for them. Especially this one. He's the one everybody loves. He's the nice guy. Amen. He's the nice guy. He's the nicest of all yet. They all love him. Isn't that right? If you read anything about him, they all love him. You know what? I don't care. I don't care how nice he is. I don't love him. I love my Savior. But Daniel, I love the one that redeemed me. I love the one that shed his blood for me. I love the one that paid my debt on Calvary. He died in my place. He died as me. How can I listen? Hey! How can I listen to that song and it not stir me just a little bit? You say, songs don't stir me. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? I get excited. Hey, when I was out there in the world, I got excited over Hank Williams. Not Junior. Hank Williams. Okay, let's clarify that right quick. I got excited over all that crowd out there. Whoever was singing, I liked them. But now that I'm trying to live for God, I'm telling you, from Amazing Grace on, I love it. I'm redeemed. Amen. They got singing that song. I was coming down the road the other day and they got singing that song. They got singing that song about, what was it about it was not a silent night. Lord God, I got to crying. I said, listen, I'm telling you, listen to that thing, boy, it's just, that wasn't the prettiest picture in the world. But I'm telling you what, it was reality. And the Lamb of God was born in a barn. What a Savior. And he knew it'd be like that. Well, I love him, Brother Dan. I love him. Church, I love him tonight. I love him. I love you. You know what I appreciate tonight? Listen, I don't even know how many people's here. I don't care. I appreciate you being here. I appreciate you coming out and just patiently enduring for an hour. Patiently listening to what maybe something. If it wasn't nothing but just a little nugget that you got, one nugget somewhere along the way. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. Father, I pray you bless this church, bless these people, please. God, how I pray. I pray, Lord, that you'd make us, Lord, fall so deeply in love with you, God, that we don't ever even think of ourselves. God, help us to be focused on the fact that, God, our land is in trouble. Asaph said, turn us, Lord. Oh, God, how I pray that our heart would be desirous of you. Bless these folk, God, tonight. I pray if you would, please. Use each one of us for the glory of God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.